Well, Merry Christmas, Central. How's everybody today? You look fantastic. You look so festive. Henderson family down here all in ties except for Laura. That's awesomeness right there. If you're watching us live stream today at the 9:30 service, welcome wherever you are. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Service. Do me a favor.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us, that works through us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give understanding to the scripture, and we pray for that this morning, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to understand your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in part three of this series called Holy Joy. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to open to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, if you can find the New Testament, if you have a whole Bible, go way toward the end. And if you find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke is the third book of the New Testament. Chapter 2, we're going to jump in there in just a second. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the seat back pocket in front of you, or maybe under a seat if you're up front here. I'd really like everybody to read along with us the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. Today we're talking about the shepherds in the hills of Bethlehem. One of the most painful things in life is being excluded by people, not included, left out. I remember as a teacher at Western Christian High School, I taught high school Bible in California, and coming to school, I'd get there early, and I'd be in my classroom, and then I'd have to walk down to the office or different things, and students would begin to show up, 20 minutes, 15 minutes before first period, and if they drove, they'd park their cars, and then they'd walk onto campus. If their parents dropped them off, they'd drop them off along the curb, and then they'd walk up, and I just remember this sort of weird, insecure feeling as the students began to walk up looking for their group. There were all kinds of huddles all over the grass in the quad area, and they'd look and they'd find their group, and they'd go in and they'd squeeze in and nestle into their little circle of friends, and they'd begin to talk, and that was kind of their warm fuzzy. And there was a few students that I'd notice that would just sit by themselves. They'd lean up against the classroom wall and maybe read a book, maybe have their headphones on, listening to music or something. They didn't have a group. Sometimes those students were international students. Sometimes language was a barrier. Sometimes they didn't quite break in to some of the English-speaking students on campus. Sometimes they were just a little bit socially awkward. Maybe they were new to the campus and they just didn't have friends. I just remember my heart breaking for those that did not have a group, those that were, in a sense, excluded from that social life. I want you to think for a moment about the last time you really felt unaccepted, you really felt left out, or maybe rejected. Do you remember that feeling? The hurt involved with not being included. Maybe a group of friends kind of turned on you or stopped talking to you or stopped inviting you to be involved in their activities. Maybe it was a wedding that you weren't invited to, and you wondered, why wasn't I invited to that? Or a graduation, or a birthday party, or a baby shower. You felt like you were in with that circle of friends, and yet they didn't invite you to that particular event. Maybe you've already been not invited to a Christmas gathering, or not invited to a holiday gathering of some kind, or a New Year's Eve party, and that feeling of, why am I being left out? As single folks, we go on dates, first dates, and it seems to be going really well at dinner. We're having a really good time and conversations flowing and stuff. And then, two or three days later, whatever rule we follow, three-day rule or whatever, and then we start texting and no response. They're either not interested or don't want to go out with us again. That feeling of exclusion. Exclusion is counterintuitive to the human soul. See, we were created for community. We were created actually to belong, not to be on the outside, because we were created in the image and likeness of God, who himself lives in perfect community with himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live in unbroken union together. And we were created in the image and the nature of God, so we were created for community. The greatest pain that Jesus Christ experienced on the cross was not physical. It was relational. When Jesus hung on the cross, he took humanity's sin upon himself. And for the very first time in eternity, that perfect union, that perfect circle of fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was broken. Jesus was excluded from that realm of fellowship with his Father. So he hangs on the cross and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time, there was separation and exclusion, that Jesus experienced what we experience when we're excluded from relationships. See, the pain of separation from God pierced Jesus' soul more deeply than the nails that pierced his flesh. You know the pain of rejection. You know the pain of isolation. You know the pain of loneliness. You know the pain of being an outcast. And Jesus experienced our pain, the pain of exclusion. You see, we were created to be connected to God. We were created to be in relationship with him, in union with him. But sin made a separation between us and God. God intended for us to be united with him, not excluded. So that's why Jesus Christ came, to reconcile humanity back into what they were created for, which was community with God. And so the reality is, friends, that when we are not reconciled to God, when we are outside of relationship with God, our life is wonky, because we're not living the life that God created us for. We were created to walk this journey in relationship, in union, in community, included with God. It's sort of like you guys are going to be doing puzzles, you know, this Christmas season. Maybe you've already started the puzzles, and you get to the very end, and there's three pieces missing. It's like, who played a cruel trick on us by hiding the last three pieces? That's what life is like when you're not in relationship with God. It just doesn't fit. There's the connection that was intended just isn't quite there. In this series, we've seen people in the Bible Christmas story who experienced joy from God. We saw Mary, who found joy through significance, the significance of carrying and giving birth to Jesus. And this was an actual picture taken in Jerusalem with Mary as she was riding with some friends in town. And you know how bumper stickers go. One says, our son is an honor student. And one says, our son is in medical school. And hers says, our son is God. Now, I'm not sure if she was, you know, boasting a little bit there related to her significance as being part of God's plan or not. But she found joy because God gave her value and significance. We looked at Simeon, who found joy through the security he had in the promise of God. He was able to hang in there from the point of the promise to the point of the fulfillment because God had given him the security that he was going to answer that promise. And today we're going to look at the joy that the shepherds felt when they realized that God included them in his plan. When the shepherds realized that they were included in this deal, it brought incredible joy in their lives, because inclusion, friends, brings great joy. That's what I want you to remember today. When people go out of their way in our lives to include us, when people go out of their way to include us in their community, in their world, it produces incredible joy. Take a look. All six of the main characters in that video had their own stress. They were all dealing with their own issues. Three of them, at some point in the video, decided to step into someone else's world and serve them. And when they did, it brought joy to the people that they were serving. In fact, their world sort of lit up when someone offered to step into their world and serve them. And it's representative of Christ in our lives, who stepped out of heaven and stepped into our world to bring joy, holy joy, into our lives. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. If you have a Bible, open that now. It says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly," say suddenly, "suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy,'" say great joy, "which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, say suddenly. Let me pause there for a moment. That word suddenly, that word is used five times in the New Testament. Whenever it's used, it means unexpectedly. It means without warning. It means something was not previously known, and the person now becomes aware of something. In nearly every case, it has to do with God revealing himself. And attached to every context where that word is used, there's a sense of urgency to respond. Urgency to respond to God who is revealing himself. See, everyone in life, I believe, has a suddenly moment. A moment when suddenly God becomes real. A moment when suddenly they realize who Jesus Christ is. A moment when suddenly they realize who they are and their need for Christ. Suddenly they realize their need to be reconciled or included in God's kingdom. There's a suddenly moment in everyone's life. Maybe you can remember the suddenly moment when God became real to you. The Apostle Peter had a suddenly moment. He was gathered with the disciples and Jesus, and Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they had all kinds of answers. Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say that you're Elijah. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And in that moment, Peter said, "You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah." And Jesus responds and says, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father is who in heaven revealed that to you." It was a suddenly moment for Peter when he understood who Jesus was. The Apostle Paul had a suddenly moment. He was on his way to Damascus, and Christ appeared to him. He was on his way to imprison and persecute Jewish Christians. And Jesus stopped him on the way and revealed himself to him. And Paul had a decision to make in that moment. There was a suddenly moment for Paul when Jesus became real. John the Baptist had a suddenly moment. His suddenly moment was when he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And Jesus came and to the Jordan. He was also wanting to be baptized. And John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A suddenly moment when John said, "That's the Christ. That's the Lamb of God given for the sin of the world." I don't know if you've already had your suddenly moment when God has become real or you're about to, but I believe that God gives all of us that moment. And the text goes on. "Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Now, all of us in our suddenly moment, we don't get a choir of angels appearing out of the sky. That would be nice. The shepherds did. God in his glory began to reveal his plan through the angels. Would you stand with me this morning and read with me the remainder of our text? The New American Standard Version is going to be on the screen so we can all read in unison now the last six verses. "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Thank you for reading God's word with me this morning. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen, just as had been told them. They experienced holy joy. This was the moment that God's joy came into their lives. A little background about shepherds in Israel. The Jews were in Egypt in slavery for 400 years. The Egyptians at that time were agriculturists, not necessarily shepherds. And in fact, they despised shepherds. Genesis 46:34 says that shepherding was detestable to the Egyptians. And that had an influence on the Jews. Because prior to that time, shepherds were seen favorably. If you remember, Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. But over a 400-year period, their opinion about shepherds began to change. After the Exodus, after they left Egypt and went into the wilderness and the Promised Land, the Jews were mostly farmers. Shepherding became a menial vocation for the lower class. Dr. Joachim Jeremias, a Jew, says shepherds were deprived of all civil rights. They were the lowest rung in society. They couldn't fulfill judicial offices or be admitted in court as witnesses. He says in Jesus' day, the rabbis, the Jewish teachers, asked with amazement how, in view of the despicable nature of shepherds, one can explain why God was called my shepherd in Psalm 23. You see the opinion, the feeling about shepherds in Christ's day. The priests in Christ's day saw shepherds as unclean religiously or spiritually because the environment in which they lived and worked was unclean. They were constantly in contact with animal feces, with blood from cuts on animals and skin diseases that they had to treat, which was contrary to the Jewish law. Because they were separated from the temple for such a long time with their line of work, they weren't able to participate in the traditions, the feasts, the festivals of the Jews. They weren't able to participate in the prayer and other requirements according to the Jewish law. So they were outcasts from the temple, and that made them outcasts in society. They had to have felt socially excluded because they were unwelcome in the temple. But think about this. They are the very first ones that God offers this good news of great joy to, because God invites every kind of person to the stable. He doesn't just invite the morally right, and he doesn't just invite the kings and the important people in the society. God invites every kind of person to the stable to find the Christ. This story teaches us that there was no room at the inn, but there's always room at the stable. Amen? There was no room at the inn. A little play on words there with the inn crowd. There was no room at the inn, but there's always room at the stable for those who will come to Jesus Christ. And that's where the shepherds found their holy joy, at the stable. See, the world may exclude us, cast us out, but Jesus always includes us. God included the shepherds in his plan, and that gave them their holy joy. And so through us now, when I say us, I'm speaking about those who have invited Jesus Christ to be the leader of their life, those whose sins have been forgiven by putting their trust and their faith in Jesus. I'm speaking to Christ followers when I say us. Through us, God is inviting the world to find this holy joy. Through our lives, we are giving the invitation to people that don't know Christ to discover the holy joy that we have found in Christ. And the scripture says that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are emissaries. We are messengers. We are the mouthpiece of Christ in this world, not unlike the angel bringing the message to the shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors. Say ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We're messengers for Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us to the world, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our message. We it's like we're saying to the world, we beg you. You are excluded from relationship with God. We implore you to be reconciled through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the message we have as ambassadors. God is calling the world to be included in his kingdom. To do this, God calls us to demonstrate the same level of inclusion with people that he did with the shepherds. And so as I end my sermon this morning, I want to just share a couple of things about how God demonstrated inclusion with the shepherds. If you're taking notes, number one is this: inclusion requires the giving of grace. If we're going to be inclusive, it requires that we extend grace. You know, we don't give gifts because people are perfect. We give them because we love people. Now, at Christmas time, I know there are some obligatory gifts that we have to give, right? We can't leave mom out. There are certain people we can't leave out. But for the most part, you give a gift to someone because you love them and you care about them. We give gifts to those that are important to us. We give gifts to those that we value in life. Grace places value on people. Think about it. A gift itself is inclusive because it shows that we include people in our circle of love. Just the giving of a gift says, I love you, and I'm including you in my network of people that I care about, that I value, and that I love, because we're just following God in John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world that he did what? He gave the greatest gift. God gave the gift of salvation to humanity because he loved us, not because we are perfect. That's not why we get good gifts. In fact, this might be shocking to you, but the person sitting next to you that you love and care about right now, they're not perfect. You might not have known that. I get that. But your spouse, your kids, they're not perfect. And you don't withhold gifts because they're not perfect. In fact, you give them gifts because you love them and you value them despite their imperfection, right? And that's what God does with us. Shepherds were excluded from the temple because they didn't fulfill the expectations of the Jewish law. They were unclean spiritually and socially. The fact that the angel appeared to them and offered the gift of salvation is simply a sign of grace. By grace, God was including them, inviting them to be part of his plan, even though they didn't deserve it according to the law. So we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. Say, all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all imperfect people. And he goes on in chapter 5, verse 8, and says, but despite the fact that we've fallen short of God's glory, God demonstrates his own what? His own love. He gave the gift of salvation because of his love. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, imperfect, Christ died for us. God offers grace because everyone has value. See, those that are least important to the world are incredibly important to God. Those who you might consider least important in your life, or at least the least lovable or likable in your life, God has extreme love for. In fact, Jesus stepped out of the glory of heaven and came into our world to offer them the grace of salvation and forgiveness of sin through the cross. They were that important. As Christ followers, it's our responsibility to invite people to the stable so they can experience holy joy like we've experienced holy joy. They're going to be morally unclean, they may be profane, and they may be hard to be around at times. But we have to remember the angel said that this good news of great joy was for all the people, not a select few. It was for you when you were in your sin. And you're still in your sin, but it was for you when you didn't want anything to do with God. God still extended grace. And inclusion brings great joy. Number two, inclusion requires stepping into another's world, stepping into someone else's world. The message of Christmas is that God became flesh and blood. He became a human, and he stepped into our world. But the specific message that the shepherds understood was that Jesus not only stepped onto the planet, he stepped into their neighborhood. The angel came to the very hills of Bethlehem where the shepherds were living and doing their work. He came to where they lived. That's what it means to step into someone else's world. To step into someone else's world isn't just really geographic. It means showing interest in them. How often do you step into someone else's world and show interest? It means listening to their story. It means supporting them in life's journey, even when it gets hard. It means spending time with them. When was the last time you stepped into someone else's world? Not your family, not your good friends, someone that's near to you but far from God. When was the last time you stepped into their world? The story says that the shepherd's world lit up, literally lit up when the angel appeared. And when the heavenly host began to sing, it was like the glory of God was, it was nighttime and it was illuminating everything. There was this incredible light that lit up the world of the shepherds. And when we step into someone else's world, it lights up their world. So this last Wednesday, we had our downtown church's preschool Christmas program. Fantastic program. Jesse Copeland and Pastor Bill and the team down there are doing an amazing job with that ministry. And so we have a few pictures here of the Christmas program. I don't know how many kids there were. It was just the stage was full of these kids ringing bells, singing songs. They were all excited. The dude in his tie right there, they tell me that guy's going to be a pastor. He's like the spiritual leader of the preschool. He's a Bible thumper. No, really, he's like a Bible thumper. He like preaches at all the kids. It's awesome. And then this little angel in the purple, that little doll right there, she was so sweet and just happy and singing and clapping with everybody. And about halfway into the program, her countenance changed completely. Her mom walked in to the program and stood in the back. Everyone else's parents that were going to be there were already there. And her mom wasn't there yet. And her mom walks in, and I mean, she's just like, what? Are you kidding? She's waving at mom and kind of forgot the song and what was going on. She was so thrilled that mom stepped into her world, and she absolutely lit up. And that's what happens when people step into our world. It just lights us up. Let me ask, who in your oikos, who in your relational world that doesn't know Christ, that they don't know holy joy, they're not walking in inclusion in God's plan, that like the shepherds, they're unaware that there is any great joy that's available to them. They're kind of living on human joy, but they've never found holy joy in their life. Let me ask, when was the last time you visited one of those folks in the hospital? Not someone in your family, not someone that's a good friend of yours, but someone in your relational world, again, that's near to you but far from God, and you know they're in the hospital, and you went to the hospital to see how they were doing and maybe to pray for them if they were open to that. When was the last time that you went to someone else's kid's basketball game or their kid's concert? Not family, not nieces and nephews, not people that you love and spend time with, just people that you know are near to you but far from God. When was the last time you stepped into their world just to light it up, just to say, I love you and I care about you? When was the last time you took a meal to someone that you knew was going through a hard time? Again, not family, not close friends, people in your relational world that need to know the holy joy of Jesus Christ in their life. Have you ever stepped into someone else's world? Students, when was the last time that you left your group of friends, you walked away from them to go sit with the kid that was by themselves? When was the last time you stepped out of your comfortable world of friendship and community? When did you step out of that world to step into someone else's world that didn't have that? Do you know that's exactly what Jesus Christ did? Jesus stepped out of the glory of heaven, the greatest comfort, the greatest place he could ever be. He stepped into the earth, into darkness, where he was rejected and excluded so that he could bring light and hope to the world. And we emulate the life of Jesus Christ. That's our calling. It's to step out of our comfortable world and into the world of those that don't know the holy joy that we've experienced through Jesus Christ. The angel went to the hills of Bethlehem because that's where the shepherds lived. Are you going to where they live who don't know Christ? Are you stepping into their world? Likewise, Christmas is about the church, Christ followers, bringing the message of joy to the hills of Bethlehem. Where are the hills of Bethlehem in your life Where do the people live in your life that have never experienced the holy joy of Christ? I was on staff at a church. I was an associate pastor in California before I came here. And one of the guys in the church, he wasn't on staff, he would cook breakfast every Friday morning for the homeless in the community. They would come and have a warm place. They'd have warm coffee. They'd have warm food. They could get out of the cold for a while. And they'd come and they would just hang out for a couple of hours on Friday mornings. And Friday was my day off, and I didn't necessarily want to get up at 5:30 in the morning, but I did to come down at 6 and just hang out with these homeless folks. I called them my non-homie homies. You'll get that in a second. And I would just show up, and I had no agenda. I wasn't a pastor. I was just a guy that was just wanting to hang out with them and step into their world. I wanted to begin to walk in the hills of Bethlehem with them, and we'd read the newspaper. Nothing heavy, nothing spiritual, just building friendship. And they found out over a period of time that I like basketball. Imagine that they found out that I like basketball. And they found out specifically that I like to watch UCLA basketball in Southern California. And so I came one Friday morning. I think it was a day or two either before or after my birthday. I can't remember. They somehow found out it was my birthday. And they were all acting weird and everything, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? And so one guy steps up and he says, Pastor, we got a birthday present for you. And my first response is, did you pay for it? Honest, like, I had to ask because they would, like, steal stuff and bring it to the church. I said, wait, did you pay for that? Yeah, we paid for it. They said, Pastor, we know that you love basketball, and we know that you love UCLA basketball. And they said, Pastor, you don't quite know us fully yet, but we sleep outside, and it's cold. Now they don't know cold, okay? This is Southern California cold, which isn't quite South Dakota cold, but to them it was cold. And they said, so we wear beanies. We have to wear beanies to stay warm at night when we're sleeping on the bench in the park, Covina Park. And they said, Pastor, we know that you love UCLA, so we got you a UCLA beanie. Listen to what they said, because you're one of us. Maybe the greatest birthday gift I've ever gotten in my life. You're one of us. You just hang out with us. And there were several of those guys that we had spiritual conversations with. I don't remember leading any of them to Christ in the moment. But I stepped into their world. And then you get stuff like this, and they say, you're not the pastor up in the ivory tower. You're like one of us. Do people say that about you that don't know Christ? Not in a sinful way, in a relational way. You're one of us. I've shared this story before, but there was a lady in our church. Her name was Tammy Chow, and her husband was not a Christian and severely depressed, and she asked me if I would go visit Tom in their home. I said, of course. Began to go and visit Tom, and he was just a tough person to have a conversation with. He didn't talk much. He was super introverted. The house was dark. The shades were pulled. There was very little light in the house, and you feel the oppression. You feel the darkness when you walk in. And over a period of months, I just began to step into Tom's world. I actually ascended the hills of Bethlehem where Tom lived and had conversation with him about life, about where he was. Hold on to that thought about stepping into Tom's world for a moment. Point number three, inclusion requires inviting others to your world. It's not just you stepping into someone else's world, it's then inviting them into your world. Not only did the angel step into the shepherd's world, but he invited the shepherds to step into God's world. He invited the shepherds to the stable where Jesus was. See, there's little purpose in serving people's temporal needs if we're not going to eventually serve their spiritual needs. Amen? We have to do both. We have to serve physical needs, the needs of people around us, but at some point we have to help serve their spiritual needs, which are eternal. Food and blankets and physical things only last for a lifetime. Spiritual truth lasts forever. At some point, we have to speak spiritual truth into the lives of people. At some point, we have to invite them into our world. So what is our world? Our world is a Christ-centered life. Our world is a life of holy joy. Our world is our joy story. I've been encouraging you for weeks. What is your joy story if you're a Christian? Could you tell your joy story in 30 to 60 seconds, how Christ has changed your life, the areas of your life that are joyful now because of Jesus? If you had 30 or 60 seconds, could you condense your story and say, this is my story of how Christ has brought joy in my life? That's our world. We invite people into our world, into our story. And here's the truth. When you step into someone else's world, it gives you the right to tell your story. If you're not willing to listen to someone else's story, you have no right for them to listen to your story. But when you invest yourself in people and you listen to their story and engage in relationship, you earn the right to tell your story once we've shown interest in people. So going back to Tom Chow. So I built relationship with Tom, and I would listen to Tom's story, and Tom told me all about his life. And at that point in our lives, we had a really small church. We had absolutely no money. Charlene and I really didn't make any money. We had kids and that were growing up, and there wasn't a lot of physical stuff in our lives. There wasn't a lot of things that brought joy that were physical or in terms of provisions. But we had the joy of Christ. And so there were several opportunities when I invited Tom into my world. I said, Tom, this is what changed my life. Jesus Christ forgave my sin and shared my story with him over a period of time. Tom, while I was with him, never had his suddenly moment. Tom never had that point when he said, I need to give my life to Christ. I want to follow the Christ that you follow. But I had planted some seeds. And Tammy told me years later, he did surrender his life to Jesus Christ. And I got to play a part of that. But because I stepped into his world, I had the right to invite Tom into my world. My wife, Charlene, has been frequenting a business here in town and gotten acquainted with a lady that works there. And over a period of time, Charlene has stepped into her world and listened to her story and found out where she's living and what's going on in her life. And she said this weekend that I'm getting the chance to share my story. I've earned the right to now share what Christ has done in my life. And that's how it works. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They shared their joy story with everyone. Are you willing to do that? That's the story of the shepherds. Inclusion led to a joy story. What's your response today as you think about this message? Maybe this Christmas God is asking you to step into someone else's world. Maybe God is asking you to be bold and to invite someone into your world and share your joy story this Christmas with someone. Maybe you just need prayer today. You know, may the glory of the Lord shine all around you this Christmas. And may you bring Christ's light into someone else's world. Like the shepherds, may you discover the joy of inclusion in Christ. And may you tell the world, even though there's no room at the inn, there's always room at the stable. Amen. Merry Christmas.